Rob.
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. We're all here. I'm sorry, a little bit late. We were having our team meeting, and it kind of caught up on us. So,
Hi, Rob.
That's
Yvette says
great.
hello. Madeline says
Hi,
hello.
Yvette. Hey, Madeline. Yvette, nice to see you, hear you. So, how was your team meeting? What's on your mind?
We are planning a hopefully successful and large client event in October on cybersecurity. We're at the point with a lot of our clients now where we'd like to get away from product and market things and
Yep.
make it more like everyday life stuff.
Good.
I mean, I know we want to also do and will at some point in time a long-term care, which is life, but this cybersecurity is on so many people's minds, and Yvette and I have seen a Morgan Stanley presentation back in the spring and said right away, we got to get this thing in front of our clients. So we're planning that, just trying to see where we're going to get the money from and how, what format we're going to do it and all those other kind of things. So, it's exciting. The frustration is that, we're not sure that there's enough money there, but we're going to make it work. It's going to work. It'll be fine.
What do you think it'll cost?
Good question.
About $7,000.
$7,000, yeah. We got Nationwide is providing the speaker. It's Nationwide's cybersecurity expert, and our friend Terry Brennan with Nationwide is providing him, and then Terry is kicking in some money himself. And then we've got to watch our budget a little bit closely because, of course, we've have showered you with dollars and haven't gotten a good return back from it, so we're not worried about that. But it's just making all the money work, and if we have to kick in, we have to kick in. We're hoping Morgan Stanley can see fit that this is something that they might want to help us with. But anyway, we're in a weird place in that we have an office, and I know I'm talking really loud. I've been reminded by my family that I'm deaf as a doornail and talk too loud. So we've had an experience over the last few years, Rob, where we've got an office of great people, but they don't bring people to client events. Every client event we've had as an office over the last few years, we've brought 95% of the people there. So we just decided a few years ago that we were only going to do things for ourselves. And it just doesn't make any sense to try to get these other people involved when they won't, they don't let you know what they're going to. And again, wah, wah, wah,
No,
but
no.
still, yeah.
No, I
So
understand.
yeah. So we're going to do it. This will be the first one we've done all by ourselves, isn't that right?
No. Last we've been doing things by ourselves. We've been quite
No,
a
but
few
I
by
mean.
ourselves.
We've done client appreciation events that aren't client appreciation events. I'm talking about kind of a, okay, maybe.
No, I think the one that we did last year was what just us.
Okay. That was also the Nationwide.
And
That
that
was
was that
the
area as we went
Economist.
out.
Okay. Well, and we can do it, and we can do it well, and the clients really appreciate it, and we know we can fill rooms. So that's, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
What's your budget for marketing?
Yeah. Kind of what is it 12,000? Is that what we have? We have a thing with Morgan Stanley based on our production. Morgan Stanley sets aside it's called BDA, business development something. And
Allowance.
yeah, allowance. There you go. And so it's $12,000 between the two of us, or either $14,000 between the two of us. So every year we are committed to a couple of things with that. We're great with Christmas cards. We've got a few clients that we shower with Christmas gifts under the $100 limit, but we got a lot that we sent it, and they really appreciate it. And then for the last 2 years, you know, we've been using Coach. So that's used up some of the money there, too. And we just want to make sure we got enough between now and the end of the year to do the things that we've sort of committed ourselves to doing and still pay for this.
Right, right. One of the things to do is to figure out what your – do a budget for your business and include in the budget the amount of money that you take out for personal savings. Okay?
Now, what do you mean by that?
I mean, how much do you actually take out of the business and save and invest and keep? Okay?
You mean our income or?
No. What you,
okay.
Your income is one thing. How much do you actually save a year?
For business commitments?
No, for yourself.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's our personal savings.
Right. So it's sort of like treat it like a business, right? Where you have a certain amount of revenues and you have a certain amount of expenses and you have a certain amount that you have keep.
Yeah.
For yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Income or. And then of the income, how much do you actually save? Mm-hmm. And then look at that as a percentage of your amount that you invest back in the business.
Okay. Yep.
Because there's very few businesses that don't invest back into their own business. I mean, if you talk to most businessmen, what do they tell you? I mean, I remember prospecting them. They always had the same excuse. I don't make money because I invested all back in my business.
Right.
Because yep, they can get a better return on their equity investing in their business than they can saving it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the question is, do you get a better return on your business, on your money, investing it back into the business or saving it? And if you don't get a better return back into the business, you know, why do those guys invest in their business and you don't?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe, you know, look at a car dealer, how much they spend on advertising and marketing. Any other business, pick a business and ask them how much they spend on marketing as a percent of their revenues and then of their net take-home pay.
All right, and this is not to challenge that at all, but one of the things that is sort of a constant with us, and we will be first to admit that we don't take advantage of it like we probably should, and we tell each other every year that we're going to do it, and that's that we've got all these wholesalers that we do business with, and then those that want to do more business with us or either want to do business, and they always try to catch us at the beginning of the year so they can budget it, and they say, what can we do? What can I do for you? You know, what do you need me to do? And
right. We've
not been good at using them to help us invest in our business. Is that not investing in our business, or, you know, help me discern the difference here?
Well, I mean, you know, what I find is that people don't – look, the reality is the average financial advisor doesn't really run a business. Now, that's a kind of a harsh statement. But what they do is they have a job where they go to work and they take an income from their job. They don't see it as their business.
Okay.
That they control, and they control the growth rate or the revenues, the expenses, et cetera. They kind of go to work and say, hey, wait a minute. I work for UBS, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch. They should be the ones running the business, and I work for them. But then if you talk to them, they go, oh, no, I'm an independent businessman, and I run my own practice. You see? So it's they want to be independent in their mind, but they want to be dependent when it comes to being an adult. Okay.
Yeah.
So they want to be a child running having a job rather than a business person running a business.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the greatest thing in the world is to really get into serious conversations with business people in your community that you'll never get into unless you're part of the YPO group, or you set up your own mastermind group, or you really have deep conversations with centers of influence, etc. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's all surface stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing is what everyone has done for 50 years, okay? And I'm not sure what everybody's done for the last 50 years is going to be good for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying your clients don't love it, and I'm not saying what you're doing isn't good interpersonal skills, but it's what you do when you have a job versus what you do when you have a business. Mm-hmm. So you're doing what the firm allows and what everybody else does, but you're not doing anything innovative, nothing creative, nothing that says, wow, these guys really have it going on. And if you know, all the disruptors in the world, that's what they're doing, right? They're taking a business and they're reinventing it, and they're turning it upside down, and they're saying, hey, why don't we do this? Well, we've never done that. Well, why don't we do this? So one of the things that I find is that the highest net worth FAs, the ones that are very, very successful, are the ones that really treat it like a business, and they have a budget, they invest in their practice, they invest in their people, and they expect to get a return on that investment. And yes, of course, they take advantage of their constituents in terms of their partners, the mutual fund companies. And how do they take advantage of it? They're organized. They have a plan. They have a business plan. So they know what they're going to be doing well in advance. And they turn to their favorite wholesaler and say, hey, this is what we're doing. We'd like you to invest $5,000 in it. And we're going to invest $5,000. Mm-hmm. And they go, great, awesome. You're organized, so you get the money. What those wholesalers are telling you is, look, we got money. You just aren't thought of a program. So we're not going to give you the money unless you have something going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now I'm not – look, Jack, you guys are great, okay? And are you the top 1% in our industry? Yes. But if you want to get to the next level, you got to do some things that other people aren't doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can't expect to, you know, you can't expect to do what you always done and get what you're just going to get what you always got. So you got to do things differently. You got to do things bigger, more interesting, more exciting, scarier than you've ever done. And then guess what? You'll get some crazy results. Maybe you won't, but you got to do some experiments.
Yeah, I know the old.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole reason you're on the phone with us is because we've committed to not doing the same thing we've been doing the same way, you know, the old
right. Sanity
definition. But great. Thank you, Coach.
Well, and you know what? When you, you know, when you buy those new golf clubs or you join that workout facility or you do whatever, you're putting some cash out, and then you know, it motivates you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to spend the money for this, you know, I'm going to spend $200,000 on this golf club. I'm going to play golf.
Oh, golf club. Oh, where you're going to play golf. I see. I thought you meant golf clubs for $200,000.
No, but, you know, you're going to join the golf club. You're going to take lessons and you're going to get better and you're going to, you know, you're going to make some money on it by getting involved. So that's your, you know, that's a plan, right? That's a plan. I'm not saying it's a great business plan, but it's a plan. And just like that, you know, it takes an effort, right? It can't just be the what you always do. And one of the things in goal setting that I learned a long time ago was just before you get set to do whatever it is you're setting out to do, you got to ask yourself, am I really willing to give something up in order to reach this goal?
Mm-hmm.
And then exactly what is it that I have to give up to reach this goal?
Which is what we are looking at right now with this client event. It's
right.
A similar version of how much are we willing to give up to make it work?
And my point in saying, you know, how much are you saving net of expenses is an important thing because that tells you what you can afford to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Gotcha.
So if you're saving $100,000 a year net of taxes, and you want to save $50,000, well then you have some surplus capital.
Yeah.
See, and the question is, are you going to get a better return on that cap? This is the question. Are you going to get a better return on that capital putting it out in a stock at 3% plus appreciation, or are you going to get a better return investing it in your business?
Got it.
And that's what you should always look at and say, you know what, if we do this, I should get a better return.
Okay, quick. If you got it, I want to mention.
Yeah.
I want to bring you up to date on a couple of things. We are collectively only have about 45 minutes left on the Supernova Audible books.
Oh, okay.
So we did what you said to do.
Great.
And we have three things written down for you, and one thing and one question, not to sneak this away, but don't want this to eat up the rest of our time. These are three observations and points.
Yep.
Not that you weren't right, and we didn't know that you were right in listening to this, but we noticed that there are items that are discussed on the Audible book that either are not in our sessions before or in the videos. And none of this is a criticism, it's an observation. So that hearing it, we were hearing some of this for what we thought was the first time, which is great because, you know, you're saying hearing it over and over and over again is going to be fantastic, but hearing it for the first time is pretty cool too. And things that we can incorporate real easily with our narrative daily and then our narrative with the Supernova narrative. And we've got them written down, so I'll just share them with you for what it's worth. We are the CFO and our clients are the CEOs. We thought that was pretty cool because, you know, we use the term, we would like for you all to think about us anytime the question of money comes up. Well, we can make that a lot simpler if we just let them think that we're, let them know that we're, we think we're the chief financial officers. And,
right.
You know, they come to us every time with that. This next one was near and dear to me. The investment plan is not the most important element of our practice. The client experience is. Which was pretty cool. You remember that somewhere, but I don't think we've heard that when we've been talking. It's just great, another great piece, you know, to put in
thank
there.
Thank you.
And
thanks.
The last thing was when we do the calls, you know, how long should they be and what we should include in each one? That
mm-hmm.
was really cool, Rob. The whole idea is, you know, we know we've got things that we want to do about it, but we've been talking kind of general. But when you can, you know, start with something like, have there been any changes since we last spoke so that we get a chance to explore with that? You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think this stuff doesn't come natural yet. Because we've got our own natural stuff.
Right.
But as we look around to each other, it's, okay, let's take some of the other things we've been saying for all these years. Like Jack says way too many times, I was doing it this morning in a meeting with Madeline. What was the
flexible.
Yeah, I almost slapped myself rather than have her slap me after I said flexible for the fifth time. And, you know, wiggle room, flexible, don't filter yourself in a corner, all these kind of things. And those are fine words, and it really means something. But then, okay, and then the other one that I overuse is life happens. They're affirmatively saying, yep, he does that a lot. And comfort level up high and anxiety level down low. Oh, well, it was okay. It was eligible, but flexible wasn't eligible. God, I'm so lucky to have these ladies with me.
I know. I hear it from my daughter. You know.
Yeah. Well, but the idea that we've got, and I want to call them a script because they're a script now, but we've got a script when we get into this with people that then's going to become natural. And it's not just us filtering, you know, flailing around trying to figure out, okay, we got a 20-minute call, what are we going to talk about? You can do
right.
You know, because Jack's going to be prone to visit too much. So stick to the script, do it, and get it over and done with. So anyway, those are three points that we grasped onto that were, in our feeling, a little bit different from what we had been going over before. So kudos to you. And that's extra additional for what we're doing on.
Yeah. Summing it up, the idea of listening to each chapter by each member of the team was a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sharing it. Huh?
Right. You mean sharing it with each other, sharing what
yeah.
you heard.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Did you guys meet then? How often did you meet, and how did you communicate that?
We meet, well, it's a part of our regular meeting.
Yeah.
Mondays at 1:30.
So today we had to
okay.
do today.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
I was out yesterday, but we did it this afternoon before we called you.
Okay, part of your meeting is what did you hear on the tapes this week that you thought was worth what?
Yes.
Correct. How far along
and how far along are we?
Yeah, just keeping everybody up. Yeah, keep everybody up, right?
Well, and you know, and I imagine we'll be doing this for a while, that each one of our team meetings, I mean, we've got to spend some time talking about what we're doing with Soap and Supernova, but, I mean, we got all this other stuff we're supposed to be doing too, so, you know, like the client event and all these other kind of things, so. You know,
so if you were me and you were coaching teams, you would make this mandatory?
That's not about coaching a team.
That's interesting. We're all looking at each other. I don't I don't know.
I mean, the term mandatory is so such a negative term, but basically you'd tell everybody that this is your homework. This is what you should do.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Because we just proved to you, whether anybody knows it or not, that there are things that you get from the Audible books that for whatever reason, I'm not saying they're not there in the videos or the coaching calls. They probably are, but they're skirted over for because of time constraints and all those other kind of things. I mean, for us to have spent, and again, this is not a criticism. I said that earlier. It's an observation. For us to be able to spend time knowing what we're expecting to do on our phone call of 20 minutes and how we can instill it, like I said, instead of flailing around, either letting Jack talk about football or us not having something specific to talk about, we know we got to get down to the business. We got to talk to them about it, but that does involve them telling us what has changed. You know, involve them, include them from the very beginning. And I think we kind of know that, but it's always great to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, those things that you just said are part of Supernova, but somehow along the way, either I didn't say it or you didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And my friend Larry Wilson used to say, and this is really important for you to understand when trying to help a client to understand a concept, is that the natural result of communication is misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Okay? So you're either going to misunderstand it, not hear it, or not let it in because you don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it may be the most valid thing in the world.
Yep.
And so I go back to the patience of the five-time rule.
Mm-hmm.
That if you really want a client to understand the value of something, you explain it five different times.
Mm-hmm.
And then they know you're serious and they probably heard it. And maybe they understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say to me, I explain Supernova to somebody and he doesn't really want me to call him that often, what do you think my reaction is?
You didn't explain it to him.
Is that the fifth time you've explained it to him?
So you're saying that my saying flexible six times in one meeting is not that bad, right?
Well, they don't hear those. Flexible's a feeling, you know, that's...
Yeah.
Flex, it says, you know, I feel good. I'm flexible. Be flexible means don't be rigid. You know, so it's an attitude. It's part of a feeling. It's okay. But you wanna use power words. And the thing that will help you by listening to the tape over and over and over is you will adopt the power words that I have found to be the right words to get the message across to have the most impact.
Mm-hmm.
And they're strong words versus weak words. All right? And anytime you can substitute a strong word for a weak word, you're going to have better results. It's like, you know, using a power drill versus a hand drill. Both will work. One just is much more effective than the other one.
Yeah. That's like that whole CFO thing. That's what I like so much about the CFO. Just
right. It's a good analogy, see?
Yeah.
You paint a very clear picture. You tell a story almost. You paint a picture of that you should run your private investments for Jack Evans Inc. just like you would a company. with you're the CEO, I'm your FA, I'm your CFO, and we need to run this like a business. That's why we have our monthly board of directors meetings, and I'm going to give you an agenda and then an executive summary of that meeting. And then they go, wow, you're treating me like I'm a big board. I'm a big company. Yes, you are. You have $10 million, that's a big deal. If you have $1 million and you've worked your whole life for it, it's still a big deal. Right?
God, yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah. That's everything for their retirement. So, you know, do we take it seriously? Yes. So anyway, that's the point of that. I like that analogy. I adopted it, and I've always used it. But, you know, who knows why you didn't ever hear of it. But that's okay. This is a great way to get that message across. The other thing is, you will never get from me everything that's in my head.
Impossible.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Right. I've got 48 years of Merrill Lynch and, you know, business stuff and, you know, management stuff and all kinds of stuff in there that you cannot get even though we talk for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Just like your clients aren't going to get everything from you until you've been together for literally years and years and years.
Yeah.
And then you're learning new stuff by going to meetings and then, you know, reading and taking courses like this one. So you're always got fresh material for them, and so that's why they're interested in hearing you.
And that also, if you don't mind, that's a perfect segue. We can close down here soon in the next few minutes. I've got a scoot, and I know we're 30-minute call anyway. That's a perfect segue into the what's the name of the gentleman who does the Audible book? The guy who's doing all the reading.
My guy?
Yeah
my mm-hmm. guy from Chicago.
Yeah.
And, whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. There's a lot of discussion about what,
Stop.
You know, being Stop. All of this. Huh?
His name was Scott. What is his name? Done two books
right. Okay. But anyway, a lot was said about the early days at Merrill Lynch and the embracement. But this is just my curiosity. What
mm-hmm.
what level, I mean, was it 2009 market decline and all the stuff that Merrill went through after that? In other words, what made this be Supernova be less embraced by Merrill Lynch, and or why hasn't somebody like Morgan Stanley taken this up like Merrill did back then, so that we're getting this offered by you, but our firm is involved with doing a roadshow with it too. Is it just a different place that the industry is today?
It's a really interesting question, and one that, you know, may never be answered. Why do human beings not see the answers in front of them? And therefore, you know, you give them, well, I'll give you a perfect example. The biggest problem, health issue we have in the country is 100% curable. Do you know what it is?
Obesity.
Yeah. Madeline came up with it. Okay.
It's 100%. We have the cure. Eat less and exercise more.
Yep.
Okay. So now the biggest problem human beings have, more of them have it than anything else, and they have the answer, but they don't adopt it. So you're asking me the biggest problem that the industry has is a failure to communicate with their clients, and we have the answer, and they know what the answer is.
So why don't they adopt it?
Same reason. I don't have the answer.
Yeah.
It's human nature.
That was a rhetorical question from me, because it's kind of like one of the things that the three of us complain a lot about behind closed doors, or not really behind closed doors, but Morgan Stanley's been spending so much money on all this technology, which is great, but then our performance is measured by how much of the technology we use, which is kind of a joke when you get to the level where we are, that you mean you're going to either penalize me or reward me because I've clicked on this thing 5 times in the last week. And then I keep thinking about what could be so much more valuable to us is not these bells and whistles, but the stuff that we're doing with you. Now, of course, that's why we made the investment in doing it and all this other kind of stuff. I don't know. I was just thinking about how much better we would be by having something like we're doing with you rather than NBA or whatever. NBA. All these other kind of things.
It's Scott Hope, right? Yeah. That's my boy. Scott Hope. And I knew it just didn't sound right to me. You ever done that where you said somebody's name and then you go, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. But it is. Anyway, Scott is he's a good reader, and he's a news announcer in Indianapolis. But it's something seriously that, can you imagine me finishing out my career at Merrill Lynch with this, with it's like I work for Eli Lilly. I came up for the cure for diabetes, and they decided that when I retired, it'd be okay they didn't really care about the cure for diabetes. They'd let me go ahead and take it with me and wish me well.
Wow. Okay. I know. That's why you got a great job now, because Merrill let you go.
Right. But then, I literally almost worked for UBS for like 8 years. I went around the country selling this. They were smart enough to pick up on it. And they drilled it. You know, I hit every region, went everywhere, did the same thing I did at Merrill. And then they changed administrations and said bye-bye. So, it's not like this stuff doesn't work, or it only works for you, or only works for a few people. This works for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so now Morgan Stanley's excited about me, and so they, but they don't want to, they don't want to spend the money. So they have it so that the word gets out, but sort of. And there's this other thing called not invented here.
Mm-hmm.
And not invented under my watch.
Uh-huh.
And if Rob could do it, then I sure should be able to do it too.
Right?
So I've got the new blue chair, and it's better than what Rob invented.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So human beings, just study World War II. If you want to be amazed at what egos can do.
Yep.
To almost screw up a war. You know, the fight between Patton and Montgomery. And then the fight between, in the Pacific, between the different admirals. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a joke. I mean, mm-hmm. these guys are great admirals, but give it a break. Their egos get, and then, So, it's no different. Look at our crazy politics. An egoless world would be a really fun world to live in, but I'm not sure we'll ever be there.
No, we won't. Rob, but, I hate to cut you short. I've got to leave shortly.
So I want you. Your homework is to figure out, without take yourselves out of the equation. It's not your money. You're studying somebody else's business. How much should they invest in marketing and R&D? Okay?
Okay.
And the next time we talk, I want you to have a budget for that.
Okay.
It should be around $35,000.
Good gosh. That's a trip.
Yeah. Right.
We could all go on a team trip.
Right.
Yvette just got back from Iceland, so we can maybe go back to Iceland again for $35,000. All right.
Okay. And then
thank you, my friend.
One more bit of homework. Talk to a car dealer and ask him how much he spends on marketing.
Okay. All right. We'll see you, bud. Thank you.
Good. Congratulations. Keep reading. Keep listening.